My dear friends in Christ, Reverend clergy and religious, I remember this one time, I was fairly young, we had moved into a house in the country that had quite a lot of property. It had a lot of outbuildings, lots of barns, sheds, grain bins. And at some point, the owners of this property had been sort of hoarders, and we inherited all of the stuff in all of the outbuildings. And this was quite the daunting task, no doubt, for my parents, more than for us children. But right away, we began tackling these outbuildings. I remember one barn in particular was just floor to ceiling with stuff. Stuff that could never be used. It had really no use. It was trash. It was full of also feral cats and everything involved with that. And it took us quite a while, a lot of work, to clean out this barn. Felt sometimes like it would never end, but it did. And I remember being, I think it was probably only 7 or 8 years old, and still having a hand in all of this work, but finishing and having this incredible sense of satisfaction. And my parents suggested, well, why don't you get on your rollerblades? And this big concrete pad, the rollerblade all around, this beautiful, free, clean space. And it was a marvelous feeling. Why this story about the messy barn? I'm sure that we've all had similar experiences, putting the work into something, but then having the incredible satisfaction of the work being done and having something clean and beautiful and useful and good. Today in the gospel, our blessed Lord gives us one of the greatest gifts that he has given us through his church, and that is the sacrament of confession. He breathed upon his disciples and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." He gave to men a power which is truly God's power. It is God, of course, who forgives sins because he is the one offended. Nevertheless, these men are to act as his vicars. They are to act in his stead. If they forgive sins, they're forgiven. If they decide not to forgive, if they retain, they are retained. But what should our attitude be towards this beautiful sacrament? It can be perhaps burdensome. Who, I might ask, likes going to confession? It's humiliating. Maybe it's intimidating. But it is, as the fathers of the church call it, a second plank after shipwreck. It is a way to begin again. It is a way to renew ourselves in spirit. We cannot have a truly healthy spiritual life if we do not have a good relationship with the sacrament of penance. And so how might we describe a good relationship with the sacrament of penance? First of all, in frequency. How often should we go to confession? The masters of the spiritual life agree that we should go at least once a month. More often is better. Every other week would be wonderful. If we feel that it is good for our soul, go every week. At the absolute bare minimum, once a month. And why so frequently? There are many practical reasons. One of them being our memory isn't so great. If we go a long time, we're likely to forget things, perhaps even important things. Besides for the practicality of making a good confession, going more frequently, we receive from this sacrament special graces. It is for the forgiveness of sin, yes, that we go to confession, but we receive a sacramental grace to not sin in the future, to better combat temptation, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so we receive an abundance of grace. Why would we not go often to receive this special grace? So go to confession often, at least regularly. How should we confess? As with everything, there is a middle course. We should not be so brief that we miss important details. If there is anything that changes the nature of a sin, and we're talking here of mortal sin, then this must be mentioned. And so we cannot be too brief or gloss over anything. If we deliberately diminish or conceal a mortal sin, that this is another mortal sin. We have gone to confession and committed a grave sacrilege, an unworthy confession. On the other side, we should not be so descriptive that we waste the priest's time or the other people in line. We ought to mention our venial sins, but the church actually says that we do not need to mention every venial sin. Probably we should mention those that are most troublesome, habits, things that we struggle with the most. And it is certainly not required and should not be done to give too many circumstances. Well, Father, I was going to the store the other day and I was with my cousin. Well, actually, it's my second cousin, once removed. I was like, just tell me the sin. So we have to find the middle course, not too brief, not too detailed. We must have true sorrow. The church teaches that in order to have a valid confession, we must have at least what we call attrition. That is, a sorrow for our sins that includes at least the fear of punishment. This, of course, is not the best motive. It is a good motive. We should fear punishment for our sins. But a far greater motive would be contrition, which is sorrow for having offended God who is so good. Included in this attrition, which is the fear of punishment, and contrition, which is the sorrow for offending God, must be the purpose of amendment. That is, at least at the moment when you make your confession, you are determined to try your best to not sin again. Does this mean that if we go and do the same thing again, that our last confession was invalid because we obviously didn't have that firm purpose of amendment? No. Our blessed Lord told us, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak, and so we will stumble. In fact, many of us are plagued with habits that are very difficult to break. But at least at the moment we make our confession, do we know with an absolute certainty that we will never fall again? No, but we have to have the intention. We will do our best to overcome these vices. Besides for the practical aspects of this sacrament, we really should try to excite in ourselves a genuine love for this sacrament. To think of it perhaps as the story that I gave you at the beginning. We don't take any joy in going and doing work and doing chores, something that's dirty and ugly and messy. But we certainly do enjoy the result. We can begin again. How beautiful is the story of our Lord that he gave us, the prodigal son. It's truly the story of every sinner. It's the story of you and me. We have sinned, we've squandered our father's inheritance, we've gone into a far country and acted shamefully. But we, upon reflection, realized, I need to go back. I need my father's approval, even if I'm to be a servant in his household. And what happens when we go back, but he meets us halfway? Not only does he forgive us, he puts his cloak around our shoulders and rings upon our fingers, and he kills the fatted calf, and he throws a great party. So merciful and so loving is Almighty God. But then comes our part to actually try. To not be that prodigal son who, after being received back, yet again goes and leaves and squanders what we had been given, yet again. But to actually try to make improvement. Another thing we see in the gospel today is this wonderful story, history of doubting Thomas. He had no doubt, at least committed a fault of incredulity. The cynical Thomas would not believe his brethren, all of them together, even though they all promised they had seen the Lord. He would not believe. But what happens? Our Lord appears, and Thomas is contrite. He bows down in humility my Lord and my God. But what for us? If our Lord were to appear to us and show us his wounds, the fruit of our sins, what our sins had done to him, if we were to see with our own eyes, we would no doubt prostrate ourselves. We would bow down in all possible humility and be determined to never sin again. Blessed are they, Thomas, who have not seen and yet believe. Why then do we not have this same attitude as Thomas of true contrition? Though we have not seen our Lord with our waking eyes, yet we know by faith he is here in the tabernacle. My dear friends in Christ, let us be truly contrite. See the wounds in our Lord's risen body. He chose to keep these marks of his passion, no doubt to remind us for all time that we have sinned. And though through the resurrection he has defeated sin and death, he gives us the opportunity to rise glorious with him, we must remember the marks. We cannot sin again. Let us be truly grateful for this beautiful sacrament of confession. Let us make proper use of this gift, which is, what is the intended goal? Why do we go to confession? It's not just to feel better about ourselves. It's to make one step closer, to admit our weakness, to tell God that we are truly sorry, but to promise him that we will try harder, one step closer to that sanctity that he has planned for us. So with this sacrament, with Holy Communion, with all of the sacraments, let us have the utmost confidence and the greatest hope that we can overcome our sins, that we can be worthy of the resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.